Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Mean here with you. Always appreciate you guys hanging out. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic Friday and a great weekend. We finished strong here on Mean Streets. We have a fantastic guest here for you today. It's been such a long time. Those over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment in Toronto, an old face we used to have on all the time over at FNTSY when I used to host Fantasy Live over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment with Ashley Docking. It is Howard Bender. He is head of content over at Fantasy Alarm. He is also a host of his own show over at Sirius XM. He is all over the place, Howard Bender, and he's just such a great guy. He's hilarious, and I'm looking forward to today. I joined him on Monday. Of course, we've been talking a lot about the Independence Day Invitational that took place on Monday, July 4th, over at Sirius XM. And I joined him, talked about my team. We kind of crapped all over DJ Moore a little bit. And then Baker Mayfield was acquired from Carolina. I don't know if we could feel too much better about that. Yesterday, we had Mick on to talk about that and also to talk about his involvement and his team from the Independence Day Invitational Draft. So we have to have Howard on, who hosted the show and hosted it on Sirius. For all you guys, we'll talk about his team. He's got a really good squad. No wonder why he hosts his own show on Sirius XM, right? I do want to talk about some of his players, though. Chase Edmonds, crowded backfield of Miami. I want to talk about Javonte Williams. I really do like his 1-2 punch between Javonte Williams and Cam Akers. Those are probably two of my favorite running backs. I mean, two of the biggest up-and-coming backs, like from a dynasty standpoint. These guys are ranked really high for me. Of course, this is a redraft. We start two tight ends, and he did pick Travis Kelce with his first pick, fourth overall. But I want to ask him about those backfields in Miami and in Denver. And since he's a Jets guy and he follows New York really, really closely, I have to ask him about the Jets too. I know we already did a New York Jets preview on this team, and I know what you're thinking of the New York Jets, but man, they have so many skilled players on their squad. I thought they had a fantastic draft. Sauce Gardner, a shutdown corner that they picked early in the draft. And then over the past couple years, they've, you know, bolstered the offensive line. Of course, Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, who came on strong last year, Garrett Wilson, now Breece Hall, Michael Carter, who they drafted, you know, 2 years ago to the backfield. So there's a lot of moving pieces. Corey Davis that they signed. They bring in CJ Uzomah. Like, Zach Wilson's skilled. He's surrounded by some skilled players here now. So we'll dive into the Jets. You know, we may not take the over on their win total. Maybe we will run through the schedule. But I want to ask Howard about some of the Jets and what to expect from some of those rookies and sophomores here. From a fantasy football standpoint, plus going to continue to give my favorite fantasy football target. This time we are in round 7 of drafts. We've kind of rolled through the first 6 rounds, picked one target from each round using NFFC ADP over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And I know I've talked a lot about wide receivers, but that's kind of my strategy, maybe to attack the running back position in round 1 or round 2, maybe get yourself a stud wideout in round 1. There's lots of value in round 2. You could maybe go RBRB in round 2 and 3 and just kind of hammer the wideouts from 3, 4, 5, and 6, even 7. There's lots of value. We've talked about Marquise Brown. We've talked about Allen Robinson, Rashad Bateman yesterday we brought up as well. So there's a lot of value throughout rounds 3 to 7, I find, at the wide receiver position. But today we will talk about a quarterback. It's not really my style to take a quarterback early. I have no issues, you know, if you leave your draft, I suppose, with, you know, a top 5 quarterback. But I don't think I'll have too many shares of Josh Allen, Herbert, or Patrick Mahomes, you know, in a single quarterback league. We're talking super flex. It's a whole new story. It's a different story there for sure. And you could take a quarterback early there. So we also will get some MLB picks and props from Howard. I have a couple as well. And we'll recap last night's action in the NHL draft. And of course, some trades, right? I was dead wrong. Always hold myself accountable. We can't be just pumping our tires all the time here on the show. We get things wrong. We have to like step back and be like, whoa. I think I said, rewind the tape. I'm pretty sure I said like a 99.9% chance that the Habs take Shane Wright, number 1 overall. No, did not happen. Shane Wright fell to number 4. He went to the Seattle Kraken last night. Slafkovský goes number 1 to the Montreal Canadiens. They also acquired Kirby Dach from Chicago. The Blackhawks are busy. They made a deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs to get Peter Mrazek and got some cap space for Toronto. They still don't have a goalie. Goalies are flying around left, right, and center. Fleury re-signed. Georgiev went to Colorado. Huso signed with the Devils just before we got on here. Vitek Vanacek went to Detroit. So there's a lot of movement. Actually, I don't know if he went to Detroit. I got to double check where he went. I'm pretty sure he went to New Jersey. He went to New Jersey and then Huso went to Detroit. There's a lot of moving pieces here. My goodness. There's a lot going on. We'll recap all that towards the end of the show and hopefully maybe some more deals kind of happen. We did see also Alex DeBrincat dealt from Chicago. The Blackhawks made three deals with Canadian teams. I don't know what they're doing over there. I didn't really like that return at all. Alex DeBrincat is a baller. That guy is a stud. He is a sniper. Ottawa has a lot going on. They got a lot of nice young pieces on that squad. I know he's got 1 year left in his deal and he is going to get paid, but maybe they decide to keep him. Maybe they figure out a way to keep him. But like I said, I didn't think the return was all that great. What's up, everybody here in the chat? Mark Carr, happy Friday, everybody. Daily Handle, happy Friday. Ready to take down the mean streets. Let's go. Jack's in the house. Meanie, rather have you. Not sure what that means, but I dig it. And then big steal for the Kraken. Yeah, no pressure for Shane Wright. Obviously, a lot of pressure in Montreal. Tons of pressure in Montreal. I'm sure he wanted to go number one overall. He did look a little upset yesterday. I don't blame him. You're a competitive hockey player. You know, exceptional status. There's only a couple. McDavid, exceptional status. Tavares, he had it. But he really just fell down draft boards. Bob McKenzie didn't have him at number one. Athletic scouts didn't have him at number one either. And, you know, maybe I should have listened to them because I just thought that the Habs would make that safe pick. But now he goes to Seattle. Matty Beniers and Shane Wright, it's a good 1-2 punch to build the organization. You know, I'm sure he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I heard Wayne Gretzky gave him a call yesterday just to see how he was doing. I'm sure that he felt pretty good after the great one gave him a call. So lots to get to here on this show. Before we break, still asking for your favorite fantasy football target. This will be the last time I think we do this here for a little bit. Just want to give away some football packages here. You see the game plan, 300 player profiles, Jeff Ratcliffe, his handprints all over that. My rankings are there. We have rankings all over the place, high stakes, best ball. We have all kinds of content. And this package, you'll have it through the entire year. It works out to like $5 a month. If you use promo code MEANIE, save yourself 20%. And then you have the package throughout the year, rankings, projection tools, 40 plus tools, Discord channel access, you name it. It is all there for you to help you out with your draft and then throughout the entire fantasy football season as well. So leave the favorite target in the comment section and then we'll do another draw on Monday here. So I got this old Halos hat. Guess what? They lost again last night to Baltimore. Good times in Anaheim. Good times in Anaheim. This is what we got. We got Michael Bear, and his fantasy football target was a good one. It is a good one. It's DeAndre Swift. Can you guys see that? D Swift. My writing is awful. Congrats, Michael Bear. Reach out at Chris Meanie, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. We'll get you hooked up with the fantasy football platinum package. We're going to take a break. We're going to bring in the GOAT. It is Howard Bender of Fantasy Alarm. Stay tuned. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meanie here with you as we bring in Howard Bender, RotoBuzz guy on the Twitter machine. Oh man, it has been so long since I've seen that beautiful face. I am fired up. Head of content over at Fantasy Alarm. Award-winning host over at SiriusXM. Guys, what a Friday here. Howard Bender, man. It has been such a long time since you and I used to do live shows together. I said it off the top. Those in Toronto over at Anthem Sports Entertainment, smiles on their face to have you join us, man. Thanks for taking the time here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I will say that this this appearance today has caused a bit of a rift in my home life right now. I opened up the bathroom door after jumping into a shower. My wife looked at me and she went, "Really? Really, I got to smell your stink all night, but Chris Meanie gets a showered you." And then when she realized that I even trimmed the beard up, she was like, "I'm done with you. Goodbye. I'll see you later. I'm taking the dogs for a walk." And then she just left me. No kiss, no nothing. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Bittersweet, I guess, for you to join me here today. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, you and I are going to talk a lot about some football here. You got some MLB picks. We do appreciate that as well. Sure. We'll do that maybe in a little bit. But yeah, I always just, I'm so thankful, man, for the opportunity, the Independence Day Invitational. It's so cool. Even though I am the lone Canadian, right, to kind of get together with you guys, so many sharp guys. You hosted it over on SiriusXM on Monday. I joined you to talk about my team, but I don't want to talk about my team. I want to talk about your team. I want to talk about your strategy all the time. We do have a board here, Howard, of the first few picks of the draft. You had the fifth overall pick, and you took Travis Kelce. I do believe you had Travis Kelce last year. Just a friendly reminder to those that are hanging out. They've heard me talk about this draft all week, but maybe we have some new listeners and viewers here today because of yourself. But Two tight ends you start. So you see the run of tight ends, 3 in the first round, 7 in the first two, then a little bit of a break, Ertz and Goddard there in rounds 3 and 4 before we really start to see another run. So two of your first 5 picks, tight ends, and then Williams and Akers, man, I really like your running backs and getting them a little bit. But just overall, I suppose your strategy, things that you've seen over the years, have you seen anything change? Have you seen teams just like reach out to you and be like, man, I really, really wish I attacked the tight end position early because there is nothing on the waiver wire?
Well, we've been doing this league now for like a good like 6 or 7 years. There's never a tight end on the waiver wire. There was one. I think it was like 2 years ago. I grabbed Anthony Firkser off the waiver wire for his big 100-plus yard game with a touchdown. Yes. And that was literally in the 6 or 7 year span that we've done this league, the only time a waiver wire tight end has done anything. So, you know, you look at the results, you look at the draft early on, you see who took the tight ends early and who didn't. And, you know, with the exception of John Lobb, who won last year, didn't totally punt the tight end position, but, you know, he let it go for a little bit for him. And that was literally the only time that you saw somebody win the league without grabbing one of those top tight ends. I mean, it's about a matter of supply and demand, right? You've got only a very few limited tight ends who are difference makers, and that position, especially if you're starting two, it needs to be filled. So yeah, 5th pick overall, you guys are going to give me Travis Kelce. I'll take that any day, man. I was expecting like a Waller or an Andrews or a Pitts, but I'm happy to grab Travis Kelce nice and early.
I may have messed up. I was thinking about Kelce too, just before you. I was like, gosh, should I do this? And then Cooper Kupp fell. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take Cooper Kupp. I ended up, I think, with Schultz and Freiermuth and Jordan a little bit later on. There's always that breakout tight end that people, you know, they always, every year, it's that one from like maybe rounds 9 or like from tight end 9 to maybe tight end 14. I don't know, like a Komet. Is there like a tight end in your opinion that you think could be a guy that maybe jumps into the top 10 this year? Like a lot of seem around Cole Kmet. Do you believe Cole Kmet could be a top 10 tight end, or is that just people talking?
I feel like it's people talking. People have been trying to speak this into existence for a couple of seasons now. No, the tight end who I'm targeting late in drafts, who I think is going to be that breakout tight end, is going to be Gerald Everett. I love this Chargers offense. Absolutely love it. I think they got themselves a really strong pass-catching tight end. We watched what Jared Cook did, having known the system that Joe Lombardi brought in there already. So, you know, Cook had a fairly successful season. Didn't really get the red zone targets. He always gets a little banged up throughout the season. You know, Everett's a guy who I think he's a strong pass catcher. I think he can definitely, run that seam route for the Chargers. You're going to have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen get the bulk of the targets. You're going to see, Josh Palmer jump in there. But Everett, I think, is going to end up proving to be a rock-solid target, particularly inside the red zone. So where he's going right now, based on ADPs, I'm happy to sit back and wait for guys like, you know, if I don't get an elite tight end, which I'm not even talking about like just a 2 tight end league. I'm talking about any league where I really do feel like, you know, those elite tight ends are true difference makers, and you can fill in wide receivers later. But if you do want to wait on the position, Gerald Everett, Hunter Henry, I think those two guys right there are probably my favorite, you know, late targets.
Yeah, and Hunter Henry was a touchdown machine last year too. It seemed like every other game he was scoring touchdowns. He certainly had Mac Jones' trust inside the red zone. I do like the Everett call, right? It's a really good offense. We know that they're aggressive. Herbert's a great quarterback, and Everett had good, nice moments towards the end of last season with Russell Wilson as well. Let's bring up your team, Howard. There are a few picks I want to talk about. So you mentioned Herbert. You got your 3 tight ends there on the bottom in Gesicki and Uzomah. We'll talk about the Jets maybe in the next block here and get your thoughts on them overall from a fantasy standpoint. Yeah, your backs, like I said off the top of the show, Javonte Williams and Cam Akers. I mean, these are the two up-and-coming backs from dynasty standpoint. These guys are, you know, arguably top 5 backs. Chase Edmonds, Isaiah Spiller, there's been some talk. I mean, even from Eckler himself right out of his mouth that, you know, he's been talking to the Chargers over the past couple of years about getting running backs and maybe lightening the load a little bit so he's fresh towards the end of the season. We could see that with Spiller, Brian Robinson, a rookie that could steal some touches from Antonio Gibson, especially near their goal line. And then, a crew here of solid wide receivers and Mike Williams. You got that stack with Herbert and Williams. Juju now in Kansas City, Landry, Christian Watson, Jameson Crowder, I think, is really good value as well. And Jalen Tolbert, their rookie, who could have a pretty good role a significant one, maybe to start the season in Dallas if Michael Gallup starts the season on the PUP list. But I do want to talk to you just, I guess, about the running backs. So Williams and Melvin Gordon. And last year it was pretty much split, Howard, between these two guys. Like, take a look at this. 203 attempts each. The rushing yards, I mean, the touchdowns more so for Gordon. More red zone rushing attempts. But we really saw Javonte Williams take off a little bit more and get more involved in the red zone in the second half of the season. From a fantasy point per game standpoint, just a full point PPR, 12.1 to 12.2. They bring back Melvin Gordon. I know that the ceiling is with Javonte Williams, but how do you feel like this backfield is going to play out? Do you feel like maybe it's 60-40 edge Williams, or could it get up to 70-30? Or what? Like, how do you feel?
I feel like it could get up to 70-30. I'll split the difference with you at 65-35 if you want, right?
Sure.
Like a standard fantasy baseball pitching hitting auction split, we can go from there. You know, here's the thing. You know, Nathaniel Hackett takes over as the head coach. He is he's more of a defensive-minded guy. He likes to put some trust into his offensive coordinator. He brings in Outen from Green Bay, right, the former tight ends coach there. What we're talking about there is they're looking to bring over that Matt LaFleur-type offense into Denver a little bit more. And one of the things that that I've been researching and looking into a lot more is that Outen wants to use he wants to incorporate some wide zone formations in there. He wants to, you know, do a lot of outside zone running and a lot of outside zone blocking. You see the way they built up this offensive line, which definitely helps. You've got guards and tackles who can pull, who can move laterally and then up the field. So, you know, when you look at the scheme and how they want to handle the running game there, that definitely favors Javonte Williams. It doesn't favor Melvin Gordon anymore. Melvin Gordon these days, yeah, he can catch a pass or two here, but he doesn't have the speed or the skill set anymore to really turn that corner outside and really push it upfield like Javonte Williams does. Javonte Williams can, you know, he can take it to the outside. He can turn on the afterburners and really zip up field along the sidelines if he has to. He can cut and he can run on a dime. So I think that the run scheme that they want to incorporate in this offense now is something that favors the outside. It favors Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon will get his touches between the tackles, but it's not going to be like it was last year. This is a new coach, a new coordinator, a new scheme. You've got a new quarterback handling the offense here who definitely likes to roll out and dump it off to his running back if he sees him out there in the flat. So I think that this is Javonte Williams' season, and I'll do that with in all caps SZN, right? Just shout it out to the Twitter brethren there. But I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with Javonte Williams. I was so high on him coming out of NC State last year. I thought he was the better of the two running backs anyway, and so I'm in on it this year. I think that he's going to actually surprise a lot of people. I'm happy taking him, you know, tail end of the first round if I have to.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of breaking tackles, I love this season. Yeah, the SZN in there. I had a lot of shares of Javonte Williams last year, so I won a lot of consolation brackets. And the year before that, I had a lot of shares of Cam Akers, and I also won a lot of consolation brackets. But, you know, it just took a little bit for those guys to get going, but certainly the skill set they both have. Even Akers, man, I don't even want to get into how he wasn't efficient last year coming back from an Achilles injury, going up against all of the defenses that he faced throughout the playoffs were top 10 rush run defenses. Like he went up against Tampa, San Fran a couple times. Even the Bengals were strong against the run, believe it or not, they were last year too. So the biggest thing for me with Cam Akers is that he got all the volume from coming from the Achilles injury, that Sean McVay had no issues giving him all the volume. Speaking of the AFC West.
Well, wait, I can boost you. Let me boost you here on Akers just a little bit, because we're very much in the minority. There are a lot of people who are down on Akers because he didn't look great, you know, coming back from that injury. And we saw a lot of Sony Michel. What Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator, wants to do over here is he wants to balance this offense out a lot more. He knows that McVay's calling the plays. He knows that McVay loves the pass. But what he's doing right now is what he noticed last year, because he was the offensive coordinator for Kentucky, and he was staying very, very much, you know, he was with the Rams, then he went to Kentucky, and he came back here as the offensive coordinator. One of the things that he noticed was defenses were really starting to key in on the outside zone running that the Rams were doing. And you know, what happens is when you line up in wide zone, if the defense is taking the outside away from you, well, you have a quarterback. You either run it between the tackles as hard as you can, or you have that quarterback like Matthew Stafford who can just kind of, you know, sink in the passes on a regular basis. Because he wants to balance it a little bit more, he wants to bring a lot more of that running in between the tackles. That's going to favor Cam Akers because, I mean, who else is there, right? I mean, we're not looking at Jake Funk, and we're not really looking at Darrell Henderson either. So I love Cam Akers here, like you said, for volume, and I think a lot of people are overlooking that.
Yeah, I mean, again, he got all the touches when the games were on the line, even if he wasn't super efficient throughout the playoffs. It's very, very telling, and it took a little bit for Sean McVay. It did, but I just don't think he's crazy about Darrell Henderson anyways. There's a reason that he went and got Sony Michel, and then Henderson, I think, no, I mean, a month ago, I hear, like, soft tissue issues. I'm like, oh, right, yeah, I'm not totally surprised about that.
This is kind of off, like this.
This is kind of off topic. AFC West. My goodness, like, what a division that's going to be. Like, if you were to pick a winner right now, who do you think it would be?
I think I sprinkled a little something on the Chargers at plus 260 to take down that division. I love that division. And if you look at my draft in the Independence Day Invitational, Kelce, Javonte Williams, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Spiller. You know, you look at the names that I've got listed in here, and what do they all have in common? They're all AFC West guys. If you're telling me that the over-under on every AFC West showdown this coming season isn't at least a 50,
yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're looking at then, because I think all those teams are going to battle back and forth. It's going to be a lot of high scoring. I love me, just stacking up some AFC West teams.
I know. I was thinking about the Raiders the other day, too, and just, like, best ball stacks. I think it's a cheap stack to get if you get, Adams, and then, if you go Waller or Renfro, but even, like, Carr is he's been a top 15 quarterback before with not a lot of weapons, and last year he was top 5, I think, in yards, and the touchdowns weren't there, but then you get it, bring in Davante Adams. I was just thinking about their totals, what they're going to be. Like, Raiders games inside that division will probably, like you said, a total of 50. Chargers games, total of 50. We know that the Chiefs, even without Tyreek Hill, same thing. And then Denver is much improved as well. One more backfield I want to talk to you about is Miami. I do like the pick of Chase Edmonds. If I could have one Miami back, it would be Chase Edmonds here. You see RB34. This is NFFC high stakes leagues here over the past 6 weeks. Howard, ADP roughly 99. They bring in Mostert. You know, he's going to be familiar, I suppose, with McDaniel and San Fran, and they bring in Sony Michel. They still have Gaskin on the squad as well. How do you feel like this backfield will play out? And also, just there's been some rumblings of Tua. You know, people seem to be off Tua, on Tua, very accurate. Oh, he can't throw the deep ball. But yet, I know he didn't throw a lot of deep balls. Howard, over at FTN, we have him. He had 26 pass attempts of at least 20 yards. He was 50% on that, which was number one. But of course, he didn't have the attempts like most quarterbacks did. So we could take that with a grain of salt. But do you think, a loaded question, do you think Tua can support a wide receiver one like Tyreek Hill? Or is he a fade?
You know, I've been fading him. I'm not a huge Tua fan. I just didn't see enough growth from, season to season and from game to game to him. I mean, it's not, everybody's like, yeah, well, you say, what do you mean he can't throw the deep ball? And Tyreek didn't, catch a ton of deep ball. Listen, it's not about that. It's his vision, his field of vision. Can he find the receivers? Can he do what he does? Like, that's the thing is that, Tyreek was able to break off of his route in a number of cases and just he knows where Mahomes was looking. And so that's what Tyreek did. And Tyreek and Patrick Mahomes had that rapport. Can that happen in Miami? Eventually. Am I going to look for that this year? No, probably not. But what they're going to try and do. And, this offense that Mike McDaniel is bringing over with him from San Francisco, it's going to have a running back rotation. You're going to try and move the chains with the short, quick timing routes. It's a West Coast passing style. And let that then open up the deep passing. as it happens. I don't think deep passing is really their main focus. I think they want to methodically move the chains, and if they can get an explosive play out of Tyreek Hill, you know, running a slant, you know, 10, 12 yards out, and then all of a sudden he, you know, cooks it upfield for another 20, 30 yards, okay, fine. I think that's what they're looking for. But the scheme doesn't really dictate, you know, any kind of vertical passing game. And so, you know, when I look at that and I say, can Tua game manage this? Yeah, probably. Jimmy Garoppolo had no issues game managing this. So, but I'm not going to sit here and invest as high a pick in Tyreek Hill, knowing that there's just so many kinks that need to be worked out. Tua needs to learn a new system. Tyreek needs to learn a new system, even though it's probably, you know, kind of similar to, you know, what Andy Reid used to run. And I just think that this is a team that's a work in progress. You'll see, I love Chase Edmonds also to be the lead guy here in the backfield. I think that, you know, we will see, you know, some Sony Michel between the tackles. I think that's completely fine. You know, McDaniel likes Raheem Mostert, right? He brings him over there with him. We'll see what happens. You know, oh, I just said Mostert and he just got hurt. Never mind. So we can just take him out, right? He literally just pulled up a hamstring when I said his name. Raheem, do not do this. All right, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, he signs him, and obviously, he continues to sign guys. So he could, again, like, how much does he really, really like him? He signed Michelle after, right? So
yep, exactly.
Interesting. I have a hard time pulling the trigger on Tyreek Hill as well, in around that spot. Like, just give me Mike Evans. Right? Give me the guy that's had 1,000 yards every single year with Tom
every
Brady,
year.
And you know, knows the system. So that's if you're picking a wide receiver in around that range, I think I'd rather go that way, or maybe even CeeDee Lamb. Dude, hang on, if you don't mind, one more segment with you. I have to talk to you about your Jets. I just feel like they've done such a good job in the draft over the past couple of years. They have so many skilled players. You know, I think they're on the rise. I really do think that they're
work
on the rise.
Progress,
plus,
yeah,
for sure. And then we'll get some MLB picks out of Howard as well. So one more segment with Mr. Bender. Keep her locked. Chris Meaney and Howard Bender, head of content of Fantasy Alarm, also the host over at SiriusXM. Howard, were you rocking out to the music in between the commercial break? And the song will be stuck in your head all weekend long, sir, I'm sure of it.
It's already stuck in my head, absolutely. I don't know if, you know, you guys got a chance to see it, but I was, you know, I was doing some popping and some locking to it. And maybe I'll just create the Chris Meaney TikTok dance.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I'm sure people would like to see that, actually. I was going to say, I don't know if anyone would like to see it, but I'm pretty sure, yes. Before we get to the Jets, there was a question from Mark Carr. He said he wasn't really sure what Baker really focused on in Cleveland. He asked if Tremble would be a good late round add. I think when we were talking about tight ends, you could touch on that if you want. But also, did the Baker to Carolina trade move the needle at all for this organization or players like DJ Moore deeper down, like maybe Terrace Marshall shows up or Robbie Anderson? Did that trade do anything for you?
It really didn't. I mean, no. You know, we looked at Baker in Cleveland, right? Nice supportive running game there, you know, interesting offense put in there by Kevin Stefanski. He had some decent targets at his disposal in Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry. You know, it just never materialized for Baker Mayfield. I think he's an okay quarterback. He's passable in the NFL, but this is not a guy who I think, you know, I want leading my team. I didn't move DJ Moore up or down my rankings at all with the move. I might have bumped up Terrace Marshall Jr. a little bit. I was big on Marshall Jr. Last year. And so, you know, with the possibility that it's Baker and not Darnold, I gave Marshall a little bit of a boost there. We'll see what happens with Tommy Tremble, but I really genuinely feel like they're going to continue to run this offense through McCaffrey. If he does stay healthy, you know, we'll see a lot of running plays. We'll see a lot of the dump offs into the, to the running back. I just don't see Baker really moving the needle here in Carolina enough, you know, to even put Tommy Tremble on my radar. I mean, maybe here in a two tight end league like the Independence Day one, where he's sitting out on the waiver wire, you know, you put him on your watch list and you see what happens. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, if it's going to be a lot of Christian McCaffrey, they're probably going to keep the tight ends, in more of a blocking scheme than they are going to release them for running routes.
Yeah, I agree. And for Matt Rhule, man, he's really tried to, I don't want to say he's just trying to hang on to his job, but he's trying to find a quarterback, like give him a quarterback, right? Like Teddy Bridgewater and Darnold, and now here we go with Baker Mayfield. I think Marshall Jr. would be a good little buy low in dynasty leagues because Baker's not going to be the quarterback of the future there. I'm sure that they're going to be, you know, trying to get their hands on another quarterback, whether it's next year in the draft or we'll see.
No love for Matt Corral?
I don't think so. I mean, there's another guy, right? Like all the picks that they've given up over the past couple of years to try to figure out this quarterback position. It's not like Baker cost them a whole lot, but even still, I do believe he is a slight upgrade over Sam Darnold. I do believe. Speaking of Sam Darnold, his former team, the New York Jets. So of course they are long shots here to win the AFC East. The Bills are favored to win the Super Bowl. So of course they'd be 22-1. To win the division, 85-1 to win the conference. 4-13 last year. Their win total checks in at 5.5. But man, Howard, they really do have some weapons. I've loved their draft over the past couple years. Sauce Gardner, right, the shutdown corner. I think I saw a stat that last year, the last 2 years, there wasn't a quarterback that completed 2 passes in a game against him, like just automatic shutdown corner. And then here's some of their fantasy weapons, and most of these guys have just been on the team for a year or two, right? Michael Carter last year, Breece Hall here, Zach Wilson last year, Elijah Moore last year, Garrett Wilson. They signed Corey Davis last season. They bring in CJ Uzoma. Talk to me about the backfield. I mean, you got to be excited as a Jets fan, and there's got to be some optimism here for this squad moving forward.
Oh, there's definite optimism here, without a doubt. I mean, you know, this year, I don't know. I mean, this year, I just want to see season-to-season improvement. I agree with what you said earlier. Joe Douglas has done an absolute fantastic job drafting with the Jets over these last 2 years. I think they've got some great components here. They've got their coach. They've got a great, you know, offensive scheme that they're running here, which, again, very similar to what Kyle Shanahan does over in San Francisco. I think Breece Hall has the capability of being a number one running back, and I definitely think that we could end up seeing the push of Michael Carter to just more third down pass catching work for him. I want to see how it develops. You know, I know that Robert Saleh and you know, LaFleur are going to, you know, look at this and say, well, we want to get the backs rotating in here. We don't want to put all the pressure on Breece Hall right from the start. So for the first few weeks of the season, I think, you know, you'll see a little bit more Michael Carter while Breece Hall gets his feet wet, while we see what he looks like as far as a pass blocker goes at the NFL level as well. So that's always going to be, you know, the kind of issue. I think for right now, Breece Hall is definitely the guy that you want to draft. You know, the ADP, I mean, it's rough, right? Taking a guy, a rookie in the third round like that. But, you know, I'm still, you know, I think that the potential, given the offensive scheme, is really there for him. I will handcuff him to Michael Carter. I'll try not to use too high of a pick. I'll have to read the room and see what happens, but I think there's definite promise on the horizon for the backfield of the Jets.
Well, Carter is going kind of late. Tyler, if you want to bring that board up just one more time, again, NFFC last 5 weeks or so. So, I mean, outside the, you know, pick 100, right? You said read the room. Exactly. Yep. Maybe you can get both of those guys. But this wide receiver room, like Elijah Moore, man, I just think he's fantastic. Garrett Wilson was actually my favorite wide receiver in the draft. Him and Jameson Williams, I like both of those guys. Is it fair? Like, should that gap is, do you think the gap will close? Like, should Elijah definitely be the number one wide receiver off the board in terms of just these Jets wideouts? Do you feel like it will be spread out a bit? Like, would you be shocked if Garrett Wilson finishes wide receiver one on this squad?
I mean, you know, see, that's the funny thing is that, you know, you look at the offense and you look how they're going to run it, right? I wouldn't be surprised to see Garrett Wilson have the, you know, be the X receiver in this offense. Elijah Moore looked so good coming out of the slot, right? And so, you know, I think that we can see Garrett Wilson as being the number one guy. You put Corey Davis over as the Z receiver. You let Elijah Moore work out of the slot. And it's a good trio there. So the question is, you know, how much does the defense pay attention to the difference between Moore and Wilson? You know, how does Wilson, you know, you got to see also how does Wilson handle the press man coverage? Because, you know, defenses are going to want to try and jack him up on the line. They do it with every rookie wide receiver just to test them and to see what they're all about. And I think the Jets open up the season against the Ravens. So, I mean, that's going to be, you know, one of those situations where, you know, Garrett Wilson is definitely going to have to prove his mettle here in the NFL. So I think it could be a little rough for the Jets early on in the season. But as long as I start seeing the steady progress here, I think for a dynasty, if you're doing like a startup dynasty draft here, Zach Wilson, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall and Elijah Moore, all four should be on your board at a decent spot. I think the Jets, you know, are on the up and coming here, even though they got, you know, Buffalo sitting ahead of them in the division.
So gun to your head, just because you did it earlier, like over or under 5.5 wins, Jets.
Oh, I got to go with the under here. I'm all about the unders. Well, if I'm betting over unders for win totals this early in the season, I tend to just lean on the unders because you just don't know Good what's going to happen Good here. Call. But I mean, you look at the Jets schedule here, right? Okay. So Ravens, even the Browns could be a tough situation for them, depending on, you know, whether or not they get that quarterback situation ever settled. The Bengals are a tough matchup there. The Dolphins will be a tough matchup. Then they got to travel to Green Bay, travel to Denver, and then take on the Pats, the Bills, and the Pats again. That is going to be probably one of the most depressing five-game stretch for any Jet fan who, like, genuinely believes that they are on the rise right now. That's going to be that segment, that just, you know, section of the schedule that just slaps them upside the head and back into reality here. So 5.5, I mean, I could probably tell you right now that I can get you 5 to 5 wins if we went through this schedule, but 6 or more, I'll err on the side of caution here.
Yeah, and I think that's fair too, like attacking unders at this point of the season. We don't want any injuries to happen, but, you know, unfortunately we just see all the time, like, injuries do happen. Man, what a stretch, you're right. My goodness, Green Bay, Denver, New England, Buffalo, out of the bye, New England, and that's in New England. And then it gets a little bit easier, I suppose. I mean, Detroit is no pushover anymore. They wrap up Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle at Miami, so maybe they can finish strong there. We want to get you out of here on this. I know you have some MLB picks, so you're going to be talking, I suppose, on Sirius about some of these picks as well a little bit later on today, but a full slate of games around the diamond. What do you got for us? What's a pick or two that you like? Share for the peeps.
All right. Well, on today's Fantasy Alarm Show, we're actually doing a best ball draft live on the air, so we won't be giving out these picks. So this is a perfect opportunity. So thank you, Chris. Mm. See, this is why you're one of my favorites in the industry. You always have been. You always will be. No, don't even. Like, listen, yeah. You've heard me before. I can spout off on people I don't like if I want to. So.
No, I've never heard that before. What? No.
No, never. You... all right, Battle of the Grays in Texas. Give me Sonny Gray over John Gray. I like Minnesota on the money line. I got it for -120 on BetMGM. I'm just looking at that offense there for Minnesota. Fourth or fifth best WOBA against right-handed pitching. John Gray's been better as of late. I just don't like him a lot. And this Texas offense is way too hit or miss for me. So give me Minnesota on the money line. I'll stay in the Central. Aaron Civale versus Brady Singer. That pushes me to the over. 8.5 runs in that one there. It's -120 on Caesars Sportsbook. And then finally here, I don't normally like to take home teams on the run line when they're giving runs. Only because they, you know, they aren't guaranteed 9 innings of at-bats. But, man, I think that this matchup here for the Atlanta Braves is just – it's just too good to pass up. There's no value on the money line whatsoever. Charlie Morton has definitely turned a corner and looks really, really good in his last several outings here. So give me the Braves -1.5 on the run line, which – -125 on Caesars I got it at.
Man, I love it. I love it all. Savali, yeah, a bit of a gas can, right? So I think we'll see some runs there. Man, the Twins, we're running out of time. I got to get going, but they've been really impressive. I mean, Arraez is fantastic and gets ready. He's up at the top of the lineup when Buxton's healthy. Carlos Correa is feeling it. Polanco's back in the lineup. Kepler in the lineup against a righty, too. Yeah, the Twins have been a moneymaker for sure, and they may just take down that division. Absolutely. Howard, man, fantastic, dude. I just love it. It's been too long, right? I know when we chatted on Monday, I was like, I'd love to have you on Mean Streets. I just know you're busy, and when you said you were willing and able, I said, let's do it, man. Why don't you take the time where people can catch you tonight on Sirius, and why don't you share what time you're on there?
All right, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87, every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. You can catch me over there. I have a weekly column on the weekends in the New York Post. You can catch that over there. all my work over at fantasyalarm.com. You can catch it all over there. Our draft guide, you know, that's out too. I don't want to compete against FTN, but
you can, all good.
You can afford to buy FTN's draft guide here because why? Ours is free. We're giving it away.
Well, there you go.
Giving it away. So, you know, save your money, buy Jeff Radcliffe's draft guide there for FTN and get yourself all set and squared away. And then just come over and just sign up for us and you can read us for free.
You can never have too much content. We'll say that. Good luck tonight with your best ball draft. And hopefully I see you again soon before the football season starts.
My wife is going to hit you up, Meanie. She's going to be like, have him on once a week if it's going to get him into the shower. Please. For the love of all that is holy.
I love it. Enjoy your night, dude. We'll say goodbye to Howard right there. Check him out, RotoBuzz Guy on the Twitter machine. We got lots more to talk about here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. See you, buddy. Welcome back. I'm going to continue the MLB talk here. Got a couple MLB picks for you as well. I loved everything that Howard gave as well. I'm in on the Braves on the run line. I love the Twinkies. They've been really, really dominant, especially against right-handed pitching, like he said. But you guys know it's Shane McClanahan day, so I got to roll with my guy Shane. When I looked last night, his strikeout prop was 8.5. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. 8.5 is a little high. And I woke up this morning at 7.5 plus money at plus 112 over at DraftKings. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to get involved with this. He has hit his strikeout prop in every single start, but one. He's got 10 punch outs in back-to-back showings. He checks in with a 36% strikeout rate, 12K per nine, 133 punch outs in 98 and a third innings this season, a 16.8 swinging strike percentage. He has at least 8 strikeouts in 7 of his last 10 starts. He's got a matchup here against the Cincinnati Reds, who strike out the 12th most in baseball against southpaws at 22.8%. They also have the 10th highest swinging strike percentage in the big. So let's go Shane McClanahan, who is now plus 280 to win the Cy Young. But yes, we have a 30-1 ticket for him to win the Cy Young in our FTM bet tracker. Keegan Thomas, a little bit juiced here, over 4.5 hits, minus 132 over at FanDuel. He's allowed 15 hits in his last two starts. He's got a tough spot here tonight against the Dodgers. He's allowed 15 hits in his last two outings, 5-plus hits in 5 of his last 8, and he checks him with a 79% contact rate. So you guys know anything around 80% is a red flag for me. And then I'm rolling with a little bit of chalk here. The Houston Astros on the run line. They're on the road to take on the Oakland Athletics. They are a baseball team, but they don't play the game very well. For your Quiddy, he's actually been pretty good lately. I know he's got a 4.15 ERA, and the xFIP is a little bit higher. He's got that fly ball rate, which is concerning. He's allowed 15 home runs. In fact, he's allowed a home run in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight starts. But, you know, in Oakland, spacious ballpark, the A's don't have a lot of power. Plus, Urquidy has, like I said, only allowed the 3 runs in his last 3 starts. And he also faced some good teams over that span. The Yankees, the Mets, and the Angels, who are, I know, not great, but they do have some powerful hitters in the lineup. So give me the Astros on the run line at minus 104. Adam Rankamp in the house says, Whit Merrifield stolen base, plus 330 against Gascan Savali. Yeah, we just actually, I don't know if you just joined, you said, what's up? I did call him a gas can in the last segment when Howard gave the Minnesota prop. I think, it's KC. That's right. It's KC against Cleveland. Okay, we're going to wrap up the baseball talk for now. We are going to finish with NHL, but I have a fantasy fall target for you as well. So we'll talk about that in the next block. Welcome back in. We'll talk hockey in the next block. I think I just saw Duncan Keith retired, so that frees up some cap space for the Edmonton Oilers, who definitely need a goalie. Your fantasy football target of the day is from round 7 of NFFC leagues. It is a quarterback. We've been talking a lot about wide receivers, of course. It is Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is not a homer pick. Don't even at me. You see the bottom note. Hurts finished tied for 6th in fantasy points per game last year with Aaron Rodgers. He missed a couple games due to an ankle injury, and now he's got himself an alpha in A.J. Brown. And I love Devontae Smith, and the guy's going to be open 24-7. He's a terrific route runner. He's not going to have top corners on him like he did last year as a rookie and had a really good rookie season. Maybe Hurts doesn't run around as much because they have A.J. Brown, but I think it'll, you know, just even itself out. Maybe he doesn't get 784 rushing yards, which led all quarterbacks last year. Maybe he doesn't get 10 rushing touchdowns, which led all quarterbacks last year. But he's got himself a guy in A.J. Brown, so maybe he throws more than 16 touchdowns. You see 16 TDs. 9 interceptions. Not a huge ADOT guy, but honestly, that was inside the top 5 among qualified quarterbacks. So there was some deep passes from Jalen Hurts last year. Devontae Quez Watkins still on the squad. He only threw the ball 432 times. I don't expect much more than that. Maybe he can get to 500 if he plays a full season. The Eagles do have, I think, according to FTN as well, the best offensive line in football. The defense is much improved. Hassan Reddick gets some pressure off the quarterback. They were 31st in the league in sacks last year. James Bradberry, it's a good 1-2 punch with Slay and Bradberry. And just maybe more touches, maybe more offense for the Philadelphia Eagles, who did finish inside the top five in NFC in terms of points per game. So it wasn't a bad season from them. The defense wasn't great, but the offense was pretty good. You see where he's going. Quarterback 9, 20.8. points per game, quarterback 7. I got him as quarterback 5. Doesn't mean you need to take him as quarterback 5. I said earlier, I don't really like to target these quarterbacks that early in single quarterback leagues. I think this is a pretty good range in around round 7. If you miss out on, there's a couple rushing quarterbacks in a row, right? Kyler, Lamar, Jalen Hurts. Hurts is going to go after these guys. I think Hurts could be QB1 overall in the season. I honestly, truly believe that with A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and Smith, and then the rushing upside that he does bring. If you want to wait it out, you could wait out on a Derek Carr and a Trey Lance. I'm perfectly fine with those two as well. You want to go early with a Herbert, fine with that as well. But I think that Jalen Hurts is a pretty fine target in the 7th round of high-stakes leagues. One more segment here, going to recap last night and just a couple moving pieces here in the NHL to round out Mean Streets and your weekend. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be a quick block. My apologies. We went pretty long with Howard, but how could you not, right? The guy's just an absolute stud. We'll break all this down on Monday. I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot more that happens in the NHL over the next 24 hours or so and here today. This is what happened last night in case you missed the NHL draft. My apologies. I mean, I dropped the ball there. I really didn't think the Habs would go with the safe pick and Shane Wright. I love what they did in Slafkovský. He's a big body, right? Nearly 230, 6'4", big winger, can put the puck in the net. He's going to play with Caulfield and Suzuki. Oh my goodness, I'm excited. But you see the 1-2 punch there. Nemich number 2, right? They didn't need a center. They had Nico Hischier. They had Jack Hughes. They're not going to go Shane Wright. I was surprised that Arizona went Cooley over Wright, but my goodness, Wright has to be happy going to Seattle. Nobody wants to go play in Arizona, let's be honest, and play with like 500 fans. He's going to go to Seattle. A nice 1-2 punch, Matty B, and then Wright to kind of like solidify the center position. So that was, you know, it was still surprising that the Habs went with Slafkovský. You know, back-to-back Slovakians, first time ever, and the first time that we've seen, you know, two countrymen go 1-2 since 2014 when Ovechkin and Malkin went 1-2, members of Russia. So that's it. We do really have to get out of here. Kirby Dach went to Montreal. Alex DeBrincat went to Chicago. Great stuff. Ottawa's really building something special there. Huso went to Detroit. Georgiev went to the Avalanche, which I think is just fantastic, right? A rich get richer. He's a really, really good goalie. And Marc-Andre Fleury re-signed with Minnesota. So what's going to happen between Toronto and Edmonton? Duncan Keith now off the books, $5.5 million. Maybe they're in play for Kemper or Campbell. Maybe Gibson is traded from the Ducks, D'Angelo to Philadelphia. We'll dive into all of that on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll chat to you then. Cheers.